Hello, and welcome to SynGap Stories. I'm your host, Ashley Fry, and in this podcast, we are going to explore what it means to know someone with SynGap 1. Whether you're a parent like me, a sibling, researcher, student, loved one, or a caregiver, you're here because of how SynGap has affected your life. I want to explore all of that. The road to diagnosis, daily life with a SynGap patient, the hardships and the triumphs, and everything in between. We all know how rare this disease is and how spread out around the world all of our families are. So I want this space to be somewhere where we can all connect and learn from each other, even grieve and celebrate together.
It seems like yesterday that Ashley recorded that introduction to SynGap 1 Stories. I can't believe it's been 10 months and 21 episodes already. I'm Ed Gabler, volunteer for SynGap Research Fund and producer of SynGap 1 Stories. You're listening to me because Ashley is taking a little break from recording as she focuses on her duties as chair of the upcoming SynGap 1 conference in Orlando. While she's away from the mic, we'll be preparing a few special episodes to recap our first year. Every episode focuses on the lives and family of Ashley's guests, but tucked into each, Ashley shares pieces of her life as well. In each, she brings advice, humor, love, and compassion to the conversation, all from her perspective as a SynGap 1 mom. I've pulled one or two snippets from each episode to create this one. I hope you enjoy listening, and when you're finished, please take a minute to reach out to Ashley and wish her a happy birthday, which was November 11th. Of course, you'll find a link in the show notes.
Well, I know that one of the first things that we did after receiving Nathan's diagnosis was, like you said, we were doing a lot of Googling, researching online, where the community is, where the tribe is. And so we were diagnosed in 2020, and we immediately found SRF and connected with both you and Peter, a number of other volunteers and parents. And that alone, just having access to people who get it, who've been there, who you don't have to explain anything to, you don't have to apologize for, you know, that is priceless. Just having access to that community of people is priceless. So thank you for having already set up that organization so that people like me didn't have to. Appreciate that.
You're welcome.
Just happens that today we're dealing with Nathan has he's threatening to be sick. He's trying to be sick. He's feeling a little bit hot, not, you know, his typical self. And it's like every other child can tell you, my stomach hurts. I don't feel well. I'm tired. I want to lay in bed. I don't want to go to school today, you know. And so how that presents with a lot of our kids, especially those who are nonverbal or barely verbal, it's like you basically are just flying blind. You know, you're trying to transition them through the day and assume that everything is all good, but then, you know, they can't tell us some of their most basic needs and wants and feelings and everything else. So just like navigating that and knowing that transitions are a huge obstacle for them and for us and for, you know, the sanity of everybody in the room, it is so hard to anticipate all that can happen. And they can't tell us what's going on in their little bodies. It's very challenging.
Sleep patterns. Oh my gosh. Don't mess up their sleep pattern.
Yes. Everyone says, don't wake a sleeping baby. Well, you got like five other different layers on there with SynGap kids in their sleep. I mean, it's just, once you get it good enough, you don't touch it.
Yeah, don't
do
let
everything
nap at
exactly
the
same. Nope. I mean, do you need this stubby? You need this light on? You need the fan on? We're going to talk about something. And then, you know, like the pattern. Mm-hmm. Oh, the pattern. And it's so, I mean, it works, thank goodness. But man, yeah. It has to be there.
Random 3 o'clock wake up, and then they don't go back to mm-hmm. sleep till 3 o'clock the afternoon of the next day. Mm-hmm. When you're trying to keep them awake because you're like, no, you got to sleep tonight. You're not going to bed.
That's exactly
you're
right.
You're staying up all day long.
Of course, like I'm saying like, oh, she's never going to do this and she's never going to do that. And my husband's on the other side saying, if she's in bed with us when she's 30, she's in bed with us when she's 30.
That's sweet. Yeah. Yeah, it's funny too, you know, like, I always have to temper my response and my feelings at times. Like, it could be so much worse. You know,
yeah.
I've gotten to know some other parents whose children have Dravet, mm-hmm. and it's like, it could be worse. It could be so much worse. So I try to manage my own responses and reactions knowing that mm-hmm. much. But you mentioned something earlier about being right about thinking that what she had going on was genetic. And when you got the diagnosis, it was like confirming that. But I also felt this, it was almost like a double-edged sword mm-hmm. to finally have a diagnosis. Yeah. Like, you see, I knew it was something, yeah. but then it's like, oh God, but this something, oh, it's so much.
Right.
So it's like, you finally know, but then it doesn't go away.
But that's a part that is the most important for the success of the animal, right?
Yes. Yes. And, you know, for that peace of mind that we talk about and for the bond between the patient and the dog to really solidify and strengthen. And I think we can see that with Guapa and Ty in just the videos that she posts about just how close they are. They really have developed that friendship and relationship that is just they're inseparable now. And I can't wait for Nathan and Panda to be that way as well.
As incredibly difficult as it is to live with SYNGAP and to raise a child that has SYNGAP, I am extremely grateful that I'm doing it in this day and age.
100% agree.
And that just we have all the supports that we do and all of the hope that we do.
Mm-hmm. Something that whenever I think about how hard it is, one of my mantras is, Ashley, it can always be worse. And thank your stars that we're in 2020 somethings. And when I think about Karen's story and having heard Nancy talk about how, you know, she was living in institutions and she had a lobotomy. I mean, whew. And you know what, you know, doctors and scientists are always, they're never trying to do the worst thing for people, right? But just at the time, the science wasn't there. The data wasn't there. The research didn't, you know, what it showed was this is what she did. This was the best outcome for people who suffered from what she was displaying. And now it's just like, thank God that people have spent the time and effort getting us to the technological point where we are, where there is very real possibility that within our children's lifetimes, there will be a gene therapy of some variety that can help alleviate these symptoms, if not cure them. And that just kind of blows my mind thinking about, you know, just 60 years ago that it was so different. And then to think about what the next 60 years bring, right?
Yeah.
That's where I have to focus.
And so that's just really exciting to see, like, when you say something and Carter gets like a joke and he's like laughing at things. Mm-hmm. It's just, mm-hmm. I really just enjoy, it's such a simple thing, but communicating with Carter is, I love it.
That's awesome. Something that just makes me smile every single time is like, so Liam is 7 and he's a typical 7-year-old boy and he has discovered fart jokes. And you know, he'll do something or he'll tell the Alexa to tell a fart joke or like make fart sounds, and Nathan loves it and he'll start mimicking, and it's just like, he's doing something normal. Yeah. Look at that.
Yeah. I love it.
that brings me a lot of joy. You have been a staunch advocate for your daughter for her entire life, and so I have to stop and note, we just kudos to you for not giving up, for continuing to be her person and to advocate for her across your entire journey with your whole family. It is proof that when families don't resign to an autism diagnosis and it just is what it is and, you know, retreat back into their comfort zone, people like you absolutely give me the hope that we will continue to share knowledge with each other and get out in the community and make the awareness about SYNGAP1 more top of mind, not just for us and our SYNGAP community, but for our doctors and our providers and our healthcare workers and everything else. So I have to say, you have done a fantastic job, and it is a blessing to have you first as Michaela's mom and in your family, but also to be a part of the SYNGAP family as well. There's something to be said about children with disabilities. I was listening to a podcast today about neurotypical children and how depression is up in teens. And
I believe it.
Like the causes and things like that. And just listening to the biology of what goes on in a little person's body from ages 9 to 18 is just kind of incredible. But they all go through this period where they kind of separate from their caregivers.
Yes.
They don't want anything to do with them. You know, they want their independence and they're exploring their, you know, that whole like decision making on your own. Oh. And I feel like our kids don't really do that. So we get to hold on to them for a little bit longer, maybe a lot longer in those cases.
For their whole life, probably. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Our ABA therapist once told us, she said, I don't care if he asks for the moon.
Yeah.
He like puts a sentence together and asks for something. Get it, figure out how to like harness the moon and give it to him because it will encourage just that continued communication. And she said, it's like, it sucks sometimes because he will want ice cream. But delivering on that ask and, you know, like it's a reward, right? So like your community, you're asking for something, you get what you ask for.
That's so good.
I feel like Nathan will also be 165 pounds very, very quickly. But, you know, it's, we're talking.
I know. I know. I'm pretty sure that's what Adam will do.
I am such a big proponent about meeting other SYNGAP families because we have so much to talk about. And we have so much in common, but we can kind of let our hair down in a way that most other people don't understand. Mm. And I think that's probably why I really connected with you, Danielle, right off the bat, is because you're just very down to earth and like, okay, what do we need to do? And then when we were having fun, it's like, we're going to have all of the fun and we're going to enjoy this moment.
Absolutely.
I appreciate that so much.
Well, there was some line dancing involved. So, I mean, how can you not have fun when line dancing is involved?
That's true. I almost forgot about that. There was line dancing. I remember specifically Mike and Virginie had a blast with it, and I was just too entertained by everybody to try and make a fool of myself, but I had a really good time watching everybody else.
That was great.
Yeah, I think Mike said it in one of his recent podcasts, is like, this organization is a movement. And even if one person needs to step back for a little while and deal with personal things, the organization continues on and it is still thriving and it is still accomplishing all of what our mission is together. And I think that's exactly right. I mean, we're kind of at the point now where what you started and the vision that you had for it has successfully maintained itself and grown, and it is now not necessarily a self-propelling beast, but essentially it is. And I think for all of us, like, we're the only ones who care, right? Who's going to do it if we don't? No one. So congratulations on that. You've created a monster. I feel like as rare parents, like the stigma that comes with anything that you're willing to try, I'm so sick of it because no, there are so few of us who have to deal with the things that we deal with. It's like, you know what? If I want to try dancing naked in the rain to see if that helps, I'm going to do it. And don't judge me for it. You would probably do some of the same things if it were your own child. So like that cloud of, you know, we don't have to hide this anymore. I am so like, yes, we are progressively getting to have more medical options available to most of us in most states. But it's still like, you know, don't judge a rare parent for the things that they try with their kids, because at some point you just have to try it all. Otherwise, there will be something on the table that you don't know would have helped or not. I'm glad that you brought that up. I can't yet imagine what you have been through, and just hearing about it makes me hurt for you and for your girls and Aaron. I know that a lot of us aren't there yet with our younger SYNGAPians, and it's something that we all fear. But your strength gives me strength to know that we will be able to get through it and that it's going to get hard. No matter how hard it can get, we can get through it. We are strong and we can persevere. So thank you so much for opening up and being so vulnerable. I really appreciate it, Monica.
It brings us so much joy as parents to see them communicating and doing what makes them happy. Nathan can't sing a whole lot of songs, but some of the songs that he knows, man, we hear him on repeat, and it brings us so much joy because it makes him so happy, even though we get tired of him, but it it makes him so happy. I always fear that people are going to join this community and say, oh, they've got it together.
Yeah.
They don't need me.
Absolutely. Yeah.
It's not the case.
We need you. We need every person.
Right.
Absolutely.
Right. And you said it earlier too, everybody has different skills. Some develop a point in case this, what I'm doing right now, this is very new and I had never dreamed of doing anything like a podcast before, but it's really not that hard. And it's very fun, I should say, but I would encourage anybody who is thinking that SRF has it together. Yes, we do. But if you can imagine the amount of work that the core of us are doing right now, just imagine how much better we can be with so many more new families coming on as quickly as they are. Put your hand in, put your hand up, and let's continue to work together, because we can only increase this progress and quicken that path to success. And a cure.
Absolutely. Very well said.
What do you do to make life easier for you? How do you and Matt give yourselves a break?
I mean, Matt has a lot of different hobbies, so he definitely tries to make time for those. I try to do some things, but it's still a work in progress for me.
I have found that lately, my way to tap out of like what's going on in my house has been to connect with other families. Like this podcast has given me this kind of, I don't know, excuse maybe to, I mean, it sounds funny, but it's like a decompression almost. It's very cathartic for me to talk to people. And I hope that when people listen, they have some sense of that as well, because that's really the point, is for us to share our stories and to, you know, if one thing that we say helps somebody this week, that's great. But I haven't had a whole lot of self-care lately. I used to love running, and that, I mean, I just can't find time in the day to do that anymore. But like checking out for an hour and preparing something for the podcast or with the conference, that's been a joy for me. It's probably not the healthiest way for me to check out. I probably need to be like completely zoning out, but it's been great. Ultimately, how much did that first fundraiser raise?
So if you include my match and the founders of SRF's match, we were close to 200,000.
That is incredible.
I was blown away myself. I had no idea.
Yeah. I remember following this campaign over that month, and I was like, wow, they've raised $20,000. Oh my gosh, they've raised $50,000. And I kept watching this number explode, and I was like, oh, who are these people? I'm so glad they found us and that they have like just jumped right in. And to me, that is the most encouraging thing. Like when you see somebody who's newly diagnosed after such a long journey to get where you're at, and it's like, you know what? We have to jump into the deep end. Forget like, you know, all of the feelings and that comes with it, and having waited so long to finally have that answer. And you're just like, you know what? I'm just going to do this. That is so encouraging to me, because it took me a little bit longer to really dive headfirst into the world of volunteering with SRF. But man, once I did, it has been incredible. And just watching everybody else who gets that bug to help immediately is so rewarding. And it's going to be rewarding for all of us and our children and our loved ones in the long run. I know that for a fact. And you are one of the reasons for that. But I mean, anybody who's just like, you know what, let's start this fundraiser and just see how much it raises. If it raises $200, man, that is great.
Totally.
That is $200 more than we had yesterday. And it's 200 more closer than we were before. And I just want to encourage everybody who's like, oh my gosh,
$200,000. I couldn't even raise, I could not raise that much amount of money in my community. I know that I just don't think I could, but every single little bit counts.
Exactly.
This also reminds me of something that my dad said early on after we learned of Nathan's diagnosis. I was like, he's not going to do this and he's not going to do that. And my dad said, but Ashley, you are putting expectations on him that no longer fit his capabilities. And I think he used that specific word capabilities and not disabilities, mm-hmm. because it really made me stop and think like, oh yeah, you know, he is going to live his best life. And even though it's different than what I expected for him, he's not going to know any different and he's going to love every moment of it. I mean, if I were to ask him, what would you do differently? I don't think he would do a damn thing differently. You know, Nathan loves his day-to-day life. And I don't think that he necessarily cares that he's not like his brother or like his peers. I mean, he's doing his best and he's learning things and he's on his own track.
Right.
And for me to try to say, it is hard. It is so hard to watch that gap widen. And even though he's still six, you know, I already see it widening year by year from his peers. He's just not on their path. And when I can convince myself that that's okay, I feel a whole lot better about his outlook and the track that he's on, because I can't change it and I can't put him on that path yet, but he's happy on the one that he's on. So I've got to be happy about that too and just support what I can. We all learn very quickly which battles we can win with our Syngapian and which we cannot and which are not worth it. And so just like having that awareness, both of our Syngapian and of ourselves, allows you more confidence and ability in the moment. And honestly, like, again, no judgment, right? Like whatever you need to do to get through the day, to get through the week, to get through the year, do it.
Just wait until she starts throwing non-trash items away.
Yeah.
I cannot tell. Like, I have found a portable speaker.
Oh, no.
In the trash. Oh, yeah. Plates, forks. I mean, you kind of expect that. This was a heartbreaking moment. Nathan had taken one of Liam's lovies. Liam is about a year and a half older. But he had this one hippo lovey that he was just so connected to. And Hippo disappeared. He made a very tragic exit, and we are pretty sure it's because Nathan just tossed Hippo in the trash and no one knew, and that was that. I mean, like, I cleaned my house. Hippo is gone. Yeah. That thing is not in the house. It is gone. You just wait. tell me the first item she throws out.
Where my Roku remote is, because we have lost.
There you go.
Everywhere. It's the trash.
Yeah.
And so I think there's a lot of us out there that are having similar struggles, or at least can be very empathetic to each other, even if our struggles aren't the same. And so just kind of like saying, like, we can talk about these things. And, mm-hmm. You know, a lot of us have no casserole things going on. They're not even, some of them aren't even medical, but like, right. You know, how do we learn how to like support each other on a day-to-day basis?
Right. Yeah, that silent struggle is so lonely, but it's mm-hmm. also terrifying to out yourself. And so, like,
yep.
I have the same sentiment. Just once I put myself out there, and then I became more aware of other friends and their internal struggles, we're able to support each other in a way that, you know, sometimes you don't know what that's going to look like or what it's going to mean, or we don't know when we're going to have a bad day. We don't know when we're going to have a good day, but just being able to share and, or even just send emails to people who, you know, can just appreciate, not even understand, but just appreciate that you're putting yourself out there. It's very cathartic, like you said. Yes. Something that I was thinking about a couple of weeks ago is that when Kevin and I first called you after we learned Nathan's diagnosis and found SRF, I was still somewhat in denial. And at that point, you know, he only had the myoclonic seizures and, you know, was significantly behind all of his milestones. But I wish you had, like, come through the phone and shaken me and said, I know that you think that it might not be Nathan. That's not your kid now. But you need to step into reality here and realize his life is not going to look like what it looks like now in 6 months, in 1 year, in 5 years. It's going to look like all of these other examples. And we know this because we have older Sengapians to look to now. Yeah, I mean, I really think that the hardest part about all of this is that it is ever-changing. As soon as you get used to one thing working, one cocktail of drugs, one routine, one classroom setting, something's going to change. Our kids are going to grow. They're going to outgrow particular medications. They're going to develop new seizure types. They're going to change schools or have summer break. ESY is not, we were told this year or this past summer that Nathan didn't qualify for ESY because he had made significant enough improvement where he didn't need it. And it's just like, wait a minute, but do you not understand the routine of everything and how, you know, that affects his ability to retain information and keep doing well? It's, I don't know. It's so hard. It is relentless and completely difficult all of the time. And nobody quite understands like we parents do. Then I met you at the conference and I saw all of the other families who were coming from many different countries in Latin America who joined us at last year's conference. It was very obvious how important of a person you were as that conduit, that connective liaison between the English-speaking community and the progress that it made, but also just reconnecting it back to people across South America, Central America. And what really stays with me is how important the work that you have done to connect these countries and this information, just like the stakeholders, making sure that the information is as accessible and widely available as possible to keep improving the care, the diagnoses, helping people understand that this is a disease that needs lots of attention all around the world. And I really know that you are a valued asset. You mentioned having a therapist. It's something that I ask most of my guests, how do you cope? How do you give yourself a break? And so many of us just haven't prioritized ourselves. So to hear you say that you've had a therapist for a while and that has been something that has helped you is really reassuring because I think we all need to prioritize that self-care a little bit more. Yeah, I remember something that Peter said a while ago was like, you're just kind of on hyper alert all the time. And as soon as you're not, the other shoe's going to drop, no matter what that looks like. But something will happen that like puts you back on hyper alertness. And it's just so exhausting. It's exhausting to anticipate. It's exhausting to deal with in the moment. And then to reassure yourself that you didn't do anything wrong to cause any of this or the outcomes, but it's just kind of part of SYNGAP life. So I feel yeah. for you guys because I know that, it's not easy and you guys have a pretty severe case on your hands. He's like, well, no matter what the cause is, you're already doing all of the things anyway. So a diagnosis at this point won't help. And Kevin was like livid. He couldn't believe that like that was it. Right. And so he's like, well, should we do genetic testing? And the neurologist was like, well, I mean, right now there's no reason to come back in 6 months and let's talk about it then. Right. And so like for us, if that first neurologist, even before he had seizures, had said, you know what, even though you're doing all the things,
you clearly want answers. Let's just do it. Right. Yeah. That, I mean, sure, we probably would have paid for that and gladly, because it would have led us to the source.
Yes.
Like the thing that was causing all of the symptoms. And while it was a little bit reassuring knowing that we were already doing everything that we could possibly do as far as therapies and school interventions, and I mean, like all of everything, we were in every single program we could get him into. I agree with you in that I don't think that Nathan's development would have improved at all by having that diagnosis, but it would have given me peace of mind and the assurance that it wasn't caused by us,
right,
and the community sooner.
Yes.
Oh man. Gosh. I mean, it hits me every time just talking about how you find out what it was like reliving those feelings every single time. Like I try to put on my podcast voice and face and not feel, and you know, but man, Julie, it's so hard because I can relate to all of those fears and feelings so viscerally. So that you are willing to be so open and raw is very moving. Thank you. I love that. So I don't always have the daintiest language, and my mother chastises me. Sometimes she'll say, Ashley, you shouldn't say that. And you definitely shouldn't say it around Nathan. I'm like, Mom, I don't care what words he says. As long as he says more words, he can spout them off. But that's probably something I should monitor more. One of the hardest things for parents like me who have younger children is thinking about what their teen years are going to look like, what their adult years are going to look like. And for better or worse, you know, I sometimes have this stereotypical bad impression of what some institutions or group homes can look like. And I know that I shouldn't, because they're not all that way. And I know a lot of it has to do with the individuals, just like you said, the care that they're being provided on a round the clock basis by the one main person. And so I probably, it's such a hard thing to think about really, but I probably need to open my eyes to the fact that there are really wonderful facilities that will care for our loved ones. And it will just be a matter of finding them, making sure that our kids are placed where we want them to be, and hopefully it can be somewhere close to us relatively, and know that they're in good hands.
And the science and the research and what the SYNGAP Research Fund is doing is mind-blowing. I really feel like SRF is moving mountains with SYNGAP One, and
yeah.
It's so exciting to be a part of it. And at the gala, we get to hear all about it too, which is wonderful. Where we were even 3 years ago to where we're going next.
Yeah. Yeah. It's incredible how quickly things can change in this space, in the medical space and pharmaceutical space. It's not something that I really paid attention to before. I didn't need to. And now that I am hyper aware of what's going on, it just seems like it's coming at us so fast all the time. And I'm so very thankful for that. And I know that it is because of efforts from, you know, mainly this community. You know, we have a lot of weight behind SRF and the initiatives that we keep striving toward faster. So it's incredible. It's heartwarming. It's encouraging. It also makes me feel sad a little bit, Nancy, to know that, like, I mean, Karen, she's 67. It's sad that we couldn't have gotten there so much sooner. I wholeheartedly agree with you about needing a therapist and to lean into our SRF community. The one thing that I have gotten more joy and just a sense of accomplishment, really, just by talking to and getting to know and getting to meet in person
other SYNGAP families to have that immediate connection with somebody, and you can just let it all out and be real without any fear of judgment is so necessary and cathartic. Monica, you and I met in San Diego a couple of months ago. Kevin and I were able to come out and visit, and we were at dinner and we just sat down and eaten, and we just immediately started talking about poop. And I remember like thinking, there's no other context where this would be socially acceptable. And here we are in this beautiful, fancy restaurant overlooking the ocean. And we're just talking about constipation and what we do about it. And it was like, I don't think any of us thought twice about that. And it was so normal. And just like, I can't believe I didn't have to like check myself in that. And it was so rewarding. So I want to wrap by saying that everybody should connect with other SYNGAP families as often as you can possibly find time in your lives, because it really does make all the difference in the world for how you feel and how you can grapple with whatever situation you're dealing with.
Absolutely.
So, Monica, I can't thank you enough. I am continually inspired by you, and I admire you so much, as do so many other people in our community. So thank you for being that pillar for us and that rock that we can lean to. And thank you very much for your
time today. Absolutely. It was my pleasure. I'm so glad we were able to do this.
If you enjoyed this episode, don't forget to subscribe and like us wherever you're listening. For more information about today's guest and SYNGAP1, please check out our show notes. Your suggestions are always welcome. Please email us at ed@curesyngap1.org.